The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed on today's radio show and their guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints of Easy Way Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Forget About It Show with celebrity master pizza chef, celebrity pizza guy Nicholas Rubin, and fashion wellness coach Penny Latham, as they share their experiences, their connections, their knowledge, their wisdom about what you do and you don't want to forget about. Welcome to the Forget About It Show.
How you guys doing? Welcome to the Forget About It Show with celebrity pizza guy Nicholas Rubin and the lovely
wellness coach Penny Latham. And today, you know, celebrity pizza guy is, you know, our show is about celebrity pizza guy, where we've been, what we're doing, what we're about. And today we're going to, you know, give you our forget about it news. That's a forget about it moment. And our special guest today, he comes from the world of magic.
Wow, what are you doing? Forgetting about it? Disney.
He comes from the world of magic.
Yes. From the world of magic.
The Academy of Magical Arts. And he lives in the He supports children and audiences with the charities all over the country, and it's amazing how he does what he does. So what do you think, Nick? Are we going to be going into this this wonderful show with Forget About It, or are we going to have...
No, we're going to have a great show.
Are we? Okay, well, let's do this. So the most important thing is our Forget About It news, our Celebrity Pizza Guy Recipe of the Week, and Penny's Fashion Wellness Coach Nutritional Fact, after we have our wonderful guest today. And today, you know, the most important thing is we're coming up on a weekend, which is with, you know, the 4th of July. And unfortunately, that's during the week, so they're having it this weekend. But it's really crazy because people are starting to get all crazy and ready for this holiday, which, of course, can be safe or not. But here's some things that we're suggesting, because we find that people around the country are doing different things. And if you're wondering what to do for the holiday to stay safe or to go where there's people, where you're going to be, you know, joining and being with your families and whatnot, you know, people are going to theme parks, they're going to resorts, they're going to museums to celebrate our independence. They're going to the beach. They're doing some different things, but also there's steamboats. Yeah, there's steamboats that on the river that are actually celebrating this festivities, and you know, it's a wonderful time for people. But most importantly, if you have in your local area fireworks like we do here in Reading, we have an amazing
fireworks display.
And what is so awesome is every year we can sit on our porch here at the house, even though it's like 3-4 miles away, and we can see the fireworks from our porch, which is kind of cool. But people that want to go downtown in Reading, they are able to go to the fireworks. And, you know, of course, it's very busy, and they have different ones throughout the week.
Yes, and you have to look for parking.
But you want to make sure that you, you know, go with your family or, you know,
be safe.
And be safe and try not to do things silly, like try to blow fireworks at your property and cause fires, which we've had happen around here too.
You can't have fireworks around here.
No, and so, you know,
it's been 105 degrees, yeah. 110 degrees up here.
Which, that's your forget about it weather, isn't
nah,
it?
No, it's not yet.
Not yet? Okay. All right. Well, that's
I got more weather.
You got more weather? Okay. Well, the most important thing I think is that, you know, we try really hard to, you know, just enjoy the weekend. And of course, when a holiday is in the middle of the week, it's unfortunate because everybody is in the work mode, and then all of a sudden they have to take a break. So it kind of throws us off a little bit. But we're looking forward to the rest, and we've got some exciting things happening with Celebrity Pizza Guy coming up here in the next couple weeks. So anyways, what about the weather?
The weather?
Yeah, tell us about the weather.
Well,
the
right now it's 93 degrees in Reading.
Yeah?
It's 72 degrees in Ocean City.
Wow.
It's 82 degrees in Stuart. In L.A., I think it's a cool 82. And the following weather for the week is going to be 105 degrees pretty much all week in Reading, and there's your weather.
All right. Well, we're going to go to commercial, and we're going to bring our wonderful guest on after we come back, and we're not going to forget about that.
Welcome to EasyWayBroadcasting.com, your one-stop shop getaway to corporate Hollywood. EasyWay specializes in red carpets and will enhance your experience. EasyWayBroadcasting.com is top-ranked on Alexa and houses the EasyWay TV Film On channel, podcast radio station, and EasyWay magazine. Learn more about the beautiful EasyWay Angels and follow their events calendar. For more information, visit EasyWayBroadcasting.com and click on About Us or call 424-209-9290. Don't forget to subscribe to the website and follow EasyWay on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for amazing updates and opportunities. Remember, that's letter E and letter Z, because, well, we do it the easy way. EasyWay Magazine is your best vehicle to advertise in if you would like to reach a quality database in corporate Hollywood. Not only will you read the stories and enjoy the content, you will also get to interact through social media and get to meet who's featured at the events, as well as get exclusive interviews from your favorite celebrities. EasyWay Magazine is a Los Angeles and Orange County-based magazine, but also reaches an international audience. Subscribe to EasyWay Magazine today by following EasyWay Broadcasting on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or EasyWayBroadcasting.com's website. To advertise, call 424-209-9290 or email contact at EasyWayBroadcasting.com. That's letter E and letter Z, because we don't do it the hard way. We do it the easy way.
Hey, we're back.
We're back.
And, you know, we're having a really good show today, and we're bringing on a wonderful guest. Our guest today is from the world of magic. I will have to talk to him about that. Maybe it's a magic spell on how to say magic. And he's dedicated, you know, his life to entertaining people with his tricks and his ability to wow people and to make them wonder things from the unknown. He's a master at his practice, and he has wonderful skill and passion and captivates audiences. Matter of fact, we saw him at Influencers Unite, and he's
a Breakwater event.
He's performed with and around people like Vincent Ward from The Walking Dead, Quentin Aaron from The Blind Side, Judge Joe Brown, Phil Krause from Charmed and Sleepwalkers, and let's welcome him, Evan Disney. Evan, are you here?
Hi, guys. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, and I don't know what's going on, Evan, but maybe it's a spell. I'm having trouble talking today.
I'm trying to get – guys are breaking up on me all of a sudden. I heard the show pretty well up until I came on. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
How you doing, Evan?
I'm doing good, Nick. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. We're glad to have you on.
We are. We're really glad to have you. And
except I have Mumbles over here.
Mumbles, yeah, that's my name today. I mean, I'm just, you know, some days we just have forget about it days, you know?
Right.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so where are you at right now? Are,
are you down in
Southern California or
I'm in Orange County.
In Orange County? Okay.
Yeah, I live in Fullerton. I work in Santa Ana, my day job, and then I magic all over from Orange County to L.A.
That's fantastic. Now, let me ask you something. Where were you born and raised? Were you from Los Angeles, or are you
No,
from
I was born and raised in Missoula, Montana, and spent almost all my life, except for the last 2 years, there.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a culture shock, wouldn't you say?
It was. I needed more people. I needed to help more people, and I was kind of capped out at my 110,000 people population in my fourth biggest city in Montana is 110,000 people.
That's incredible.
Sounds like where we're at in Reading. There's 120,000 people.
Yeah, we have the same thing up here, and it's like everybody knows everybody. And you're right. You cap out, and you need to move on. You know. So.
On with the next show.
With the next show, which is what we're at. So here's the deal. What would you say is the best thing you remember about Montana since you were born and raised there?
Well, you know, Big Sky Country, it really sums it all up. It's just gorgeous, 360 everywhere you look around. You know, you can go 20 minutes in any direction, and you can be in the wilderness amongst the wild and nature.
Wow.
And it's really kind of cool based on my experience coming to a bigger city with a bigger population. That's the one thing I miss is the ease of travel.
Wow.
Correct. Did you do any hunting there?
Oh, yeah. I got my hunting certificate, and, you know, that put meat in our freezer growing up. So I was in hunter safety at the age of 13, and I probably shot my first deer at the age of 14, and that's how my family ate through the summer was hunting in the winter.
Wow. That's what her mom did up in
Bernie. Well, actually, she did that back in Chicago too,
too,
in southern Illinois.
Yeah.
You know, once you're a hunter, I think it's in your blood. You just, you know, it's something that you enjoy doing. And, you know, and most people that are in this area, we have people that come up here. I don't know about Montana, but we have people that come up here.
We have deer at our back door.
We have deer. We have like 20 turkeys. My gosh. Every time someone comes over, they want to kill the turkeys. And I'm like, no, there are seascapes.
We have dogs, bear, we have everything basically almost except no elk or, you know, bison.
That's cool.
You know, up in, Wyoming. So where did you go to school?
I went to Loyola Sacred Heart. I went to a small Catholic school in Missoula, Montana.
I went to Sacred Heart.
Well, that's
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said I went to a Sacred Heart.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
I went to a Catholic school with Sacred Heart, but that was in Vineland, New Jersey. So you went to school? You went to Catholic school? Did you go to Catholic high school?
Catholic high school. I have 5 years of Catholic education. I started in eighth grade, and then I finished out my high school in Catholic education. And then I went into the Navy out of high school.
Wow.
You went into the Navy. Wow. That must have been a real switch. Now, let me ask you something. Did you, is that where you got into magic, or what did you do when you were in the Navy? What was your job?
Skull shooting.
Coincidentally, I did have my marksman ribbon for shooting. That is definitely something I did do in the Navy. But I was in electronics is what I enlisted in, and I actually kind of started getting into magic my senior year. There was a freshman at my high school that inspired me, and that's when I started, you know, doing card and coin tricks. I had this huge personality, and I found that if I had something interesting to show people, they wanted me to stay around longer. So it just kind of grew from there.
Wow, that's awesome. So what made you become a magician?
Well, as I realized that around, they also got their stress reset. I could take somebody's hand and put a coin through it, and I can guarantee you for at least 10 seconds they've forgotten about everything else that's going on in their life. So it kind of gives them a reprieve, a reset in stress, and I like being able to do that for people.
Yes,
very, cool.
very well. I had a question before I asked you that question. The question was going to be, how long were you in the service for?
2 years.
3 years?
Okay. I had a two-year enlistment.
Okay. And did you go to the National Guards or anything like that? Or?
No, I left they actually promised me a school in my basic training that they weren't able to uphold. So at the end of my 2 years, I was able to take my honorable discharge and go forth into the workforce.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
What did you do after that?
Well, I went back home. I was stationed in Illinois. I was stationed at Great Lakes right outside Chicago for most of my Navy stint. And then I came back home. I took a wife I had met while I was in the Navy, and she came back to Montana with me. And we started living there. And I started, you know, magic wasn't something I was doing out of the Navy. It was just something that I had picked up. So we had gotten there. I got a job at a place called Mountain Supply that sold plumbing. They sold toilets and sinks and, you know, anything that has plumbing related. And I was their youngest salesman, and I was known for doing magic for the kids while the parents shopped. And so I became known as Mr. Magic in the store.
Wow. That's
and then
awesome.
From there, one of the guys I worked with became a manager of a Sizzler, I want to say in 2006. And he brought me to the Sizzler two nights a week, and we brought their numbers up 60% in 6 months, and then they decided there wasn't going to be a Sizzler in Missoula anymore. But at that point, I was pretty established. I was getting birthday parties and school events and things like that, and I just kept rolling with it.
So what year did you start being a magician?
Well, I started learning. seriously being a magician? How I would say,
you know, in front of crowds and, you know, like you said, you were getting parties and, you know,
doing events.
2008, I was getting at least 1 gig a month come 2008. And in Montana, that's pretty good, you know, getting 1 gig a month.
So you've been doing it for 20 years, basically,
that's
since when you started, pretty much.
Yeah, it's about 20 years, exactly.
And that's awesome.
That's really neat. That's almost like a lifetime.
How many tricks do you normally do in your performances that you have at events?
That's one of the unique things about me. I'm an improv performer, so I've given thousands of shows, but I never give the same show basically twice. I'll bring 3 hours of material to an hour show, and then I just kind of cater what I'm doing to the audience.
Okay.
I quite the arsenal.
We're like that too. Our shows are improv. We plan them, and the best laid plan sometimes doesn't always come about. But you know, I think that's exactly what makes you as good as you are.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You have to go with the flow. All right. What's the hardest trick you have ever performed?
Yeah.
Well, as far as difficult, I find it. I have attention shiny disorder. My attention deficit I had as a kid with the hyperactive. So as an adult, when I was learning my magic, I would just grab different pieces and put them together. So I never learned a full trick all the way through. I'd learn half of one trick and half of another trick, and then I'd combo them together and make them my own. And then when I started doing shows, like you guys said, you try to plan every detail. I tried that for years and realized that my show never went as planned, and I was having a lot more fun not worrying about it. So
that's
called forget about it.
That's called the forget about it moment, exactly. Which is really
forget about it.
It's called forget about it. So let's hear what do you think is your hardest trick that you've performed?
Yeah.
Well, the two crowd favorites that everybody seems to ask me for and do is I have an illusion where I more or less make a dollar bill from the audience that's written, serial numbers written down and put in an envelope. I make it disappear and appear in a lemon that someone else has been holding the whole time. And at the end of it, you cut the lemon open and open it up, and the dollar bill's inside of it, and the serial number matches. So
America's Got Talent?
Did you do that on America's Got Talent?
I did that at the Influencers.
Influencers. Oh, I was too busy.
He was busy.
Yeah, you were.
I didn't see you until I said forget about it to you.
you reminded me of a chicken with your head cut off. You had so much to do, and, I mean, the food was fantastic, and it was a great night. But, yeah, you were probably the busiest person there.
You got that right.
You know, he absolutely was.
Thank you very much.
Spinning his talent, that's for sure.
So do you get people in the audience involved in your tricks?
Yeah, you know, on an average show, when I'm doing my fundraisers and stuff, I bring on the average of anywhere between 15 and 25 people up. I like to do my illusions with the audience, and it's for every age. I've done every audience. I just like to interact. So since the influencers unite, I've gotten even more excited because I have a passion for beating bullying in the schools through my magic and being a motivational speaker. And listening to some of these speakers and being able to go to some of these events because of that one event, my business has taken kind of a turn where now I'm helping small to medium businesses give back to their customers and build their networking base. And I'm helping small nonprofits keep 80% of the money they raise by throwing a magic show. Pretty much all you need is a venue. And I take my 20 years of experience and tell you how to market it, and you get 80% of the profit. So
wow.
I get to help
through
magic.
Absolutely.
We're going to be hiring you.
Absolutely. We definitely
We
like
got
that.
Some events coming.
Yeah, we do.
Well, I appreciate that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I think that there's a place for you in everything. I see your pizza and the new fresh way you approach what you guys do. I'm going to be throwing you names and ideas as often as they come to me, because it makes me excited when like-minded people get together.
That's awesome. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and also I like the idea that you do so much for kids too, because our kids are our future, and you know, kids are the ones that actually meld and change how adults think, because you know, and if you can bring that innocence to the table and give people a reason to laugh and smile and, you know, to think about what they're doing at that moment or to forget about what they're doing at that moment. I think that that really does change how people look at things. Now, you were on America's Got Talent.
I was. It was a brief clip, you know, 5 seconds of fame. But on season 12, episode 1, right before the singing Trump, they do a montage of the American dream. And they used a quote. They when I was standing in line for the auditions, they pulled me out of line and they put a microphone on me. And I was standing in line and they took a clip from me standing in line talking to someone. And I'm saying the opportunities are endless. Everybody in this line has a chance. It's America. And they used that quote on America's Got Talent. And they give a full shot of 3 seconds of me saying it.
Well, that's fantastic. That's great.
So how did you fare in America's Got Talent? How far did you get?
Well, I went into the audition room, and, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I'd never auditioned before. I didn't know what type of illusion I should bring, and it wasn't what I expected. You walk in, and there's just one person in front of a computer and a cameraman, and then you're in a room with 30 other people that are going to audition, and you don't know what they're going to do. So the performer in me catered to the other people in the room because it's really weird to sit and do close-up magic for someone behind a computer that won't stand up and look. So I'll be much more better prepared for the 2018 audition. I've already got that all planned out. I'll be auditioning again this year. But the fact that my personality and my energy got me any clip, because that's, you know, gold, if you think about it, on America's Got Talent, made me excited for the next season.
So I got what year was this that you tried out for America's Got Talent?
What was that?
What year was it that you tried out for America's Got Talent?
Yeah, it was just the one that was just on, the one this season that's on right now, 2017.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
So you didn't even make it to TV then?
No, didn't make it to TV. Just a clip in my voice, but.
That electronic person, you know, and you're right. It's amazing how when you look into someone's eyes, you're able to perform and you're able to, you know, connect a whole lot better than you would what they were showing you.
Evan, this is a great question. So you're telling me every person that comes and does their act for America's Got Talent, they're in front of a computer?
The person is, yeah, the one that's watching. When you get into the audition room, it's not like you see on TV. There's not three judges. They're not asking you questions.
No,
they're not
I knew
giving
that.
You feedback.
But they're basically, it's one person, and then they decide if you go through to, you know, to be on to the show. Or to
yeah,
show
what they'll
you
do, have. Yeah, it's like a pre-screen. They'll go through and pre-screen everybody, and if some of them, somebody thinks they've got something, they'll send you to the next room to perform for the second part of the audition.
Wow. So that's a tough screening.
No, it is.
It's an all-day process.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
At least we learned from you, and now we know what to expect from other people in America's Got Talent.
Absolutely.
We watched it last night.
Yeah, we did. And who knows? Maybe we'll be watching you next time.
Yeah, 2018. Let's get it rolling.
That's right.
That's going to be my year. That's where my sights are.
How about this? We do. We have you as the magician, and we have the celebrity pizza guy throwing a pizza, and you do something as I throw the pizza in the air, and it disappears.
The possibilities are endless, Nick, for sure.
That's a great
one. Let me tell you, if you could do that on America's Got Talent,
Wow. You're
going to win.
We'll figure it out. Don't give me ideas. I'll make them work. You know I will.
All right. Well, let's roll. I'll throw that so high it'll disappear.
You know, he's really good. He's really good at doing that, too. We've watched him on the red carpet, man. I'll tell you, he throws it up in the air, and it's like, if you're not ready, you're not ready.
No, it goes
I've
high.
Heard stories.
I can go, I think 30 feet.
I've heard you're good. I have.
All right.
So let me ask you, what was your most dangerous trick that you've ever done?
Most dangerous trick. Well, I do have a tendency to play with fire. So I have a tendency to take a paper rose and levitate it out of somebody's hand on stage. And then as the rose flies over a candle, it bursts into flame. And on occasions, I've singed my eyebrows and my facial hair. You know, sometimes the flame gets a little too close. But I know how to stop, drop, and roll. And it's all part of the act, if you ask anybody.
So is there anybody that is a world-famous magician that you would say was your mentor? I mean, you said that there was someone in your senior year, but who would you say out of the greatest of greats is your mentor?
So I learned everything from books. I didn't really have a mentor in learning, but as a magician, someone I loved that I got to see at a young age that taught me the meaning of bewilderment would be David Copperfield. He made Missoula twice. He likes Missoula, so he puts that on his route. So I got to see him perform live twice in my life, once as an adult, once as a child, and both times I always come out with a new found respect for the art form.
Did you find yourself wanting to go up on the stage and go behind wherever he was at and try to figure out how he was doing it, since that's what you do?
After 20 years, I do my very best to be amazed. And, you know, I was really nervous. The Magic Castle in Hollywood, one of the most exclusive clubs in the world, I was afraid to go because I didn't want to – I'd never seen any other magician. I'm all self-trained and self-taught. So my first year out here, I was really apprehensive to take advantage of my invitation because I was like, well, what if I find out I've been doing all this time for nothing? And you go in and you start watching these magicians, and there's such a broad base that there really isn't any type of competition per se. But to be able to walk into the Magic Castle where Houdini performed and Neil Patrick Harris and Johnny Carson, and just to be a part of those names in that history and watch everybody, I'm like a little kid again. I was just pulled on stage for a fundraiser for the Women's Magic Association, and Chipper Lowell, he's been all over the world, pulled me up on stage, and I was just like a little kid. He didn't know I was a magician. I was just there supporting, and I had a great time.
Wow. You know, I met David Copperfield back in 1984 in Ocean City, New Jersey. He came rolling up in a limousine to a friend of mine who he dated, picked her up, took her out to Atlantic City because he was doing a show there. And he was a great gentleman.
He's a pretty good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and that was back in 1984, and yeah, that's a long time ago. So
that's a blink ago, Nick.
We were
both young and spry.
Young and spry is right.
I was like 19.
Yeah, I was, you know, 6, 7.
You were really a bleep.
Yeah. I look back now. Now I've got 5 kids of my own and 2 stepchildren and 2 marriages later. It's like, oh, I was a young spry guy back then.
Next thing, forget about.
Now you're on to your next version of yourself. So, do you have assistants in your performances? Do you take on, you know, accompaniment type of thing?
Historically, I don't typically use assistants. I had one cameo appearance in Riverside where I was charged with putting a set to music and one person sang and I did the magic and we choreographed it, and that worked out pretty good. I used a snake in my routine because I feel reptiles always get one response, whether you love them or you hate them. There's really no in-between with reptiles, so it's always good to use it in magic for that surprise factor.
No kidding. Wow. I don't know. That would be kind of scary to use a reptile.
So you're a magician at the Magic Castle in Hollywood and a master of ceremonies.
He does karaoke, too. He's a champion.
You're a karaoke champion, an actor, and a comedian.
Wow, you've really done a lot of things.
I have.
Being the natural entertainer that you are, how would you get someone to
get into your
type of business?
That's about right.
It comes down to me, it's the passion for people, you know, but what it really comes down to everybody else is the word passion. You need to find your passion and find the magic in your art form. And, you know, and I have people around me. I started singing the national anthem a cappella in high school. Karaoke, I mean, me singing and acting in school started way before the magic, but my dad was a cop. My mom stayed at home. There wasn't really an income to enhance my acting career. That tends to cost a little more than my family could afford at that time. So I just say to anybody interested in entertaining, just follow your passion. And the most important message, and I think it was Dr. Wayne Dyer that said it, it truly doesn't matter what anybody thinks of you. So rock on.
So let me ask you something. How many times would you say, if you were going to, you know, let our listeners know that want to get into magic, how many times would you say you did a trick before you finally mastered it?
That's another unique phase for me. I'm always telling people that, you know, without an audience, a magician's just awkward in front of a mirror. I typically don't practice. I'll find something I like. I determine whether I can actually perform it or not, and then I hit the hardest crew, which is your family and friends, and I practice on them. And I let them tear me apart because I know they're going to be the hardest on me, so when I am ready to take it to public, I've already been ridiculed by my family.
Isn't that the truth, though? It's like, our, you know, our close family and friends always do that. And, you know, it is something that, you know, you really do have to get beyond that. But I find that a lot of people want to get in your field, but they're afraid to fail. Wouldn't you say that they're afraid to not do the trick right? Or they're afraid they're going to be found out or get booed or something like that. How can you, what would you say to our listeners that, you know, would be where you have made, I mean, have you ever failed at a trick? I mean,
absolutely.
And what would you say to them to get past that?
You know, you can't fail in art. You're expressing yourself the best you know how. You need to just be confident that if somebody says, oh, I know how you did it, appreciate their honesty and become better. Try to fool them next time. I strive every day to take what I can and put it into a positive light, no matter what it is. Some of my greatest tricks today are because I messed up in a group of people and I had to change what I was doing. Some of my most amazing effects have been just random points of coincidence. And so just don't stop trying. It doesn't matter what you did. It matters what you're going to do. What you did is over. 3 seconds ago is just as dead as the dinosaur. So don't worry about it.
Forget about it. So where's your most favorite place to perform? What would you say was the best one?
Oh, I have two favorite places. As of recent, I do love to have, as a magician member of the Magic Castle, I have the ability to put improv shows on at the castle. That always gives me a little deeper thrill because I am performing amongst the greats when I do that, and there's a very small group of people that are allowed. I mean, a magician member of the Magic Castle is about 20%, and there's 5,000 people. So there's only 1,000 active magician members of the Magic Castle right now that I get to join ranks with. So to have the ability to perform at one of the green tables in that castle on any given night has been so much fun for me. And then my other favorite venue, and I'll be going back for my 6th year at the end of August, is my hometown's River City Roots Festival. I get to do the Kids Fest at the Roots Festival. They ask me to come in every year. Even when I moved out here, they still had me. They started to fly me in to keep coming back. And I love the fact that people are coming because they've seen me before.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's great.
That is awesome. Now, where are you planning on performing outside of Los Angeles? Do you have anything in store for, you know, your performances?
Other events.
I do. I actually am a part of Magic Mondays on July 17th in Santa Monica. I get to open the pre-show for Magic Mondays, and Magic Mondays is always, I think it's $25 a person. You can go to Magic Mondays LA on the internet, and it'll bring it up. And it's $25. You get to see 4 to 5 magicians do their show. And that's really exciting because I'll be on the stage with John Armstrong, who is a very big influence since I've been to the castle. I enjoy his work. I like his comedy. And I actually now will be able to get a picture with him after the show as being seen performing with him. So I'm pretty excited about that. On the 12th, I will be on a worldwide broadcast of Been There, Sung That, which is the only live karaoke show. And that's on the 12th. I have a showdown, which is the Strolling Magician Showdown at the Magic Castle on July 11th. And I've done that 2 times. And that's just great. You know, the world's best strolling magicians come and compete in the club. And you can bring your friends and family to come and watch and judge you. And that's been a cool experience, too. So that's kind of some of the things I have coming up.
So let me ask you, how is it really difficult to set up for what you do, or is it a big setup, or do you find that you just kind of, like you said, you're improv?
It just depends on what act you're going to do.
Yeah,
yeah,
do you find that difficult or involved?
No, I try to pack small because I never know where I'm going to end up. All the years of doing this, you know, you don't know where someone's going to put you in their house, where they're going to put you in the backyard, so I try to use what's around me. I usually need a small table. I don't do big stage props because I'm a magician. If you catch me on the street, my sleeves are always rolled up. So I'm a close-up magician, but you always see my arms. Well, I don't like smokes and mirrors on the stage. So when I'm doing my stage performances, you won't see a lot of big props, which makes me easy to come in and set up.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense.
So, Evan, who do you think right now of our time and age is the best illusionist magician out there?
Besides
Nick, I don't even know if I can answer that particular question, only because I like so many different facets of magic. I saw just on America's Got Talent, on the episode that I was on, the magician that was on there with the coins was one of the best coin routines I've ever seen. But, you know, I've seen other, like the Pendragons. I got to see one of the Pendragons perform at the castle. Great interactor, does a different form. You know, he's more of a mentalist. So it all depends on the type of magic that you like. I would say, you know, Neil Patrick Harris is one of the top magicians in what he does, and nobody really knows about it, you know?
Wow. Here's a question. When you were at America's Got Talent, did that guy who did the coin trick, did he teach anything?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get to meet him. I did not.
No.
It was fun, though, because I guess my friends got to see Howie Mandel. I got called back, but Howie came dressed as an old lady and was, like, within 5 feet of the people I brought to the audition with me. And throughout the whole audition period, once I got inside, I just started going from group to group of people that were waiting and introducing myself and doing magic and spreading positivity and telling everybody that, you know, it's all about, don't worry about auditioning. Kind of like you guys struck on, you know, those people that have fear. I have a real unique way of just making people feel comfortable with what they're doing.
Correct.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. So here's one more question by me, and then Penny's going to talk.
Okay.
Do you think David Blaine is the best illusionist?
I think that David Blaine has the best control of his abilities as far as his body goes, for his type of magic. So in his field, yes, I think he's definitely going to go down as one of the best. But a lot of his stuff is just muscle reflex and training, you know, being in ice for 7 days or, you know, some of the things that he's done.
It's all mind control.
Have you ever done any tricks where you're sawing people in half and things like that?
No, I did have a box where I could slice someone in half, and I didn't like the presentation because it's been done so many times. So what I did from that is I created a trunk that I can show empty, and I take a 3-foot ball python and turn it into a 16-foot anaconda on stage. So as far as big stage illusions, that's probably my biggest that I've done to date.
So you find that when you're doing those kind of tricks, of course, you know, there's always the unknown. Do you find that people are always wondering, you know, how you did it? And have you ever had a little kid go up and try to figure it out or sneak behind or you know, come up to you after a show and go, how did you do that? You know, I mean, do you find that there are the inquisitive ones that you know, will go to any lengths to try to figure out how you did your trick?
Yep, I call them the strong independent thinkers, and they're usually women. And it's because they have to know. Absolutely is what it comes down to. And I actually enjoy those individuals the most because a part of my magic where other magicians are sleight of hand, I am quick on my feet verbally. So I like to to play with those people and make them second guess themselves. And then, of course, I always tell everybody I'm self-taught. So there's nothing that you've seen today that you can't go learn yourself. And that usually will, you know, divert them to a different direction.
Well, I think that, you know, in everything that, you know, we do, I think even with Nick, I find that when he's spinning the dough, you know, we've had people, you know, try to figure out how they're doing that. And actually, that brings me to something that I think we need to bring up, because we would love for to have the Evan Disney pizza.
We would like to know what kind of pizza you would create for the Evan Disney pizza.
Yeah.
The Evan Disney pizza, you know? This is going to sound funny, but I'm thinking like a surf and turf pizza, you know, with a white sauce, because I can't do red sauce. My stomach, I'm too old for that stuff. Maybe some quality steak and crab and maybe a nice garlic maybe like that on there. I'm thinking in my mind would be fabulous.
So you would like a pesto sauce.
Yeah.
Which is
garlic,
oil, basil, and parsley. And I put that down as a base. And then you want crab. And you want a little steak?
Yeah.
I could do
maybe
that.
Maybe a vegetable that complements
that. Actually, you know what? That's a good one.
We've never had anybody build that type of pizza before.
Yeah.
Awesome.
A little surf and turf by Evan Disney. There you go.
Yeah. Wow. I'm thinking that just sounds delicious. And I know if someone's going to do it right, it's going to be you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I can create.
Nick can create anything.
You tell me what you want, and I'll create it. And it's called Forget About.
Forget about it.
Hey, it's the Magical Surf and Turf by Evan Disney.
There you go. I like that. That's awesome. Well, I think that, you know, the most important thing is people, you know, they love the spinning of the dough and everything, and he can make anything. So, you know, the most important thing is we want to sometime in the future, we would want to, you know, have him create that with you.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Whatever we need to do to make that happen, let's make that happen.
That sounds like fun. We even had someone come up here and film in our kitchen, and you know, because we have a culinary kitchen, and it was fun. It was nice to
awesome.
So we have a couple other people that want to come do that as well, but we are going to be coming back down to Los Angeles again, you know, sometime in the future. But the most important thing is that we want to make sure that you get out what, you know, how people can get a hold of you.
Yes, that's another question.
And then when we get the opportunity, we do filming here at the house. And sometimes we'll make pizzas that we do for our show, and Nick will actually create that for, you know, the person that we've had on our show from different week to week times.
Are you busy on July 16th?
What's that?
Are you busy on July 16th?
July 16th. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but it doesn't sound like a date I have a conflict with.
Okay, we'll call you.
Yeah, we'll definitely call you.
We have an event for you.
Absolutely.
And I think you guys, honestly, we should do a pizza and magic show where people can come in and try samples of your pizza and sit down and do a show.
I already planned it for you.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I think we'd have a good time. So how do people get a hold of you once again? What are your links out there that they can do to look up
evandisney@gmail.com?
Yeah, I got it.
Evandisneymagic.
So yeah, absolutely. Evandisneymagic.com will get you to my website, which is in process. Facebook/Evandisney will get you to my fan page. If you just Google my name, the first 9 pages are me. So I'm pretty easy to find.
That's awesome.
Email is evandisneymagic@gmail.com. So I try to be out there for the public to find me. And I want to help people raise money and value their customers, and customer service is really my specialty. So if anybody is hearing this show and thinking that's something they could use, by all means, let's make magic.
Well, I you know, I do agree with you. You know, you guys do really well, and your gal Teresita, I was very impressed with just, you know, just very accommodating. And even when we were trying to put things together for your performance at Influencers Unite, and, you know, I was doing the Easy Way magazine, you know, I think that, you know, that is a real big plus. And so you do have a gal there that really has your back. I will tell you that. So,
yes,
you know, that's
she's
awesome.
Amazing. My
she
team,
is,
Team Disney, I couldn't complain. Teresita Baker, she owns Snap My Pics. She's a photographer, and she has branded me perfectly. And yes. Raising the Bar Entertainment with David Allison, he also has had my back as far as any technical I've ever needed. So it's really nice to have a team out here.
That's fantastic.
It's what you need, a team. Without a team, forget about it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and having people you can trust that have your back. And
you
people
don't
want
to have people that leave
yeah.
you for no reason.
Yeah, you want people that are going to really do the job right, and, you know, they're going to, you know, treat it like it's their business. You know, I think that's really, really important. But,
it really is.
Well, we definitely are looking forward to getting together with you, and we will be calling you, and we'll figure out exactly you know, what we need to do to make that happen, you know?
So let me ask you guys, where can people find this leak so I can tell people how fabulous this show is so they can continue to watch and listen?
Well, we will actually...
Hold on, wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Just go to my page. It's already
okay.
on there.
Or mine.
Mm-hmm. Eric sent it on there 5 minutes before showtime.
Yes.
And
awesome.
Just share it.
And they
share.
Can also...
All they have to do is press on...
EasyWayRadio.com. You know, they can
blog
go there
talk
too.
Radio.
And,
okay.
And all you have to do is share it to them, whoever you want to share it to, and tell them to press the icon thing, and bada boom, bada bing, you got the Forget About It show.
Right. So, and it'll all be posted and blogged within 30 minutes to an hour after our show. Right now it's live, so, you know, they're listening to it. But, you
after
know,
the show's done, then
they
can
blog
listen
it,
to
and they'll be able to go and listen to it over and over and over.
Over
and we
over
did,
and over.
Yeah, and we did tag you in it. So, you know, we,
yes.
which is
well,
what we really
I,
like
I
to do.
I think Eric tagged you in it. 5 minutes before the show, so you should be able to have it when you get off the show.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, you guys are amazing. I want to say thank you for having me on, and thank you for everything you do.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be calling you.
Yeah, we'll be
Sounds
calling
good.
You, and we'll be connecting things.
We're
going to
set it up for
out.
Big check your calendar for July 16th.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Right. Thanks,
well, thank
Evan.
You guys.
Evan Disney, you're wonderful.
Hey, I got one more question.
What's that?
Sure.
Are you related to Disney?
Are you related to Disney?
You know what? At some point on the tree, we tie together, but it's above us, not underneath him. So there's 43 Disney families in the United States, and in one way, shape, or form, they all tie back to the same lineage.
Well, then you are related.
That's right.
So.
Welcome to the Disney show
welcome
with
to
Evan
the world Disney. Yes, there you
Forget
go.
Forget about it.
Sounds
Forget
good.
About it. All right, you guys, have a good night.
All right, you
hey,
too.
Evan, we'll be talking to you.
Thank you, Disney.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Disney. You know what? Today's been one of those days.
All right, guys.
Thank
bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well,
so.
We're going to Celebrity Pizza Guy Recipe of the Week.
Yeah.
Celebrity Pizza Guy Pizza of the Week is Asparagus Tips Alfredo Pizza. Alfredo sauce with asparagus tips, mozzarella cheese, and provolone cheese baked beautifully with that Alfredo
I love it.
Sauce. And it reminds me of a shrimp Alfredo.
Yeah, it's nice.
Is that the easy way?
Yeah, that's the easy way.
Oh,
forget
about
that. That is an easy way pie. But
so
the surf and turf is amazing,
oh, the surf
too.
And turf sounds great.
We've never done that one before.
Okay, we need to say something for easy, the easy way. What is that?
Well, we definitely...
With his new...
Yes, oh yes, endeavor. Yeah, we want to support Easy Way too, and you know, that's a new forum out there for you to get your information out there. You can have a panel, you know, it's for people that are wanting to do it the easy way and not have difficulty like with the other tubes that are out there, you know, there's some different other forums out there. Try easywaytube.com, and you should be able to set up your own channel. And you can find Evan Disney has a channel there. So does Celebrity Pizza Guy, and so do I, Fashion Wellness Coach. So, and then also, too, we have our Fashion Wellness Nutritional Fact of the Week. And, you know, we have the holiday coming up. And so to eat healthy and give yourself a chance to, you know, stay festive and whatnot, we definitely are, you know, telling you that if you're making cakes or if you're making, you know, dishes with pasta, just stay within the colors. You know, your tomatoes are really good. But, you know, berries, going with blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, you know, using... Well, the white would be
yogurt.
Or you can, yeah, you can go with yogurt, but also with coconut. And coconut, yeah, I'm sure you would, but I'm a coconut lover. So,
yeah,
but coconut is healthy for your heart. It's for your thyroid, tooth decay.
So
Lauren,
are you Cocoa for Coconut?
I am Cocoa for Coconut. That's
all
what,
right.
We even have a dog named Cocoa.
That's right. All right, forget about it.
But anyways, now we are really looking forward to making some wonderful desserts and some different pasta meals and whatnot, you know, and keeping the colors in a festive mode and keeping ourselves healthy. And we want to make sure that everybody is going to have a healthy weekend. And to our show next week.
Well, next week we have a split decision.
Yeah, we have a
split decision. Either Maury Phillips or the Pamela Hasselhoff. The Hoff's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Ooh, we've been in the works with her for a while.
Yeah, we have.
She was supposed to be on this week, but she flaked a little bit. So, we said forget about it.
She forgot about it.
That's what I mean. She forgot about it.
Anyways,
next week's show, it's going to be a great show no matter what, who the guest is, because they're both great guests. Maury Phillips is from Getty Images. He's a professional photographer. Getty Images, fabulous. He's taking photos of me and all the above stars, Snoop Dogg and Sharon Stone and Brian McKnight and every person basically in Hollywood. Pamela Hasselhoff is David Hasselhoff's ex. Wife and
she has some wonderful things that
she has some wonderful things she's doing right now, and it's either one's gonna be a great show.
Yeah.
So tune in and
don't forget about it.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Have a good week and happy 4th of July.
There
you go. Ba boom, bada bing. Have a good week.
We hope you enjoyed our show. If you like us, email us or repost our show. Saying goodbye from celebrity pizza guy, Nicholas Rubin, and fashion wellness coach, Penny Latham. We'll see you next week on The Forget About It Show.